Roadhouse, the new remake of the 1989 Patrick Swayze classic, is a new film from director Doug Liman, starring a beefed-up Jake Gyllenhaal in the lead role, alongside a pretty stacked ensemble cast. This movie will be coming soon to Amazon. It won't be playing theatrically.
It's on there right now.
More so weird, on that later. We are live from the South by Southwest Film Festival, where the movie opened the festival.
It did indeed.
The opening night movie, pretty electric crowd on hand for this brutal brawler. Did it live up to the hype? Was it a fun time at the movies? Should people be looking forward to Roadhouse? Amanda, you want to start us off?
I didn't know it was a Roadhouse remix. I waited in a line for 3 hours for what I thought was going to be some fun, gritty, you know, Nightcrawler meets Southpaw-esque Jake Gyllenhaal movie, only to find that it's a remake of a Patrick Swayze movie.
When did you find out it was a remake?
When I was sitting there and they said I like the original Roadhouse movie.
Before or after the movie?
Right before.
Right before, okay. Right before. So you didn't get to sit with the movie and judge it without realizing, like...
Yeah, no, they introduced it. They introduced it as a Roadhouse remake.
The whole time that they're having the conversations of what is a Roadhouse, the Roadhouse, Roadhouse, you were just like, I have no idea what this means.
Well, I've seen I just didn't know.
Yeah, I don't think it hurts it if you
haven't. It doesn't hurt it. It does not hurt it at all.
And the character is sort of like a different take on the Swayze character. It's less of like the philosophical kind of. I don't know. I think Jake sort of imbues a lot of what is the goofiness I appreciate in his performances into this character.
Agreed.
You have a guy with a troubled past coming to town to clean up the bad element. It feels very old-fashioned in that way, like almost a Walking Tall-esque kind
structure. The lone hero, the lone...
The Western.
The Western, like the true Western, where it's like the guy comes to town and he's not trying to be the hero, but it's like, well...
Someone's
got to do this, you know? Like that kind of attitude.
Yeah, and it has some kind of like, you know, fun little... cutting of the tension, these sort of glib jokes. I think Jake Gyllenhaal's really good in the way that he sort of downplays the height of the situation.
Yes.
He kind of is very, very lackadaisical in how he dispatches the rough element. But I think it leads to a lot of fun moments. The story definitely has a bit of a lull in the middle.
Absolutely.
And but I think mostly it's a mostly satisfying action.
Yeah, this will play really well in streaming, actually. Like, for all you want to say, like, I actually don't know how big of a success this would be in theaters, even if it would be a really fun theater experience for people.
It would be okay.
It would be okay. I think it would do okay, but I do think that this is going to be something that people, like, really enjoy as a family.
Yeah.
Like, family units and stuff.
For the dads who have finished Reacher.
For the dads. Like, this is something right I can be like, Dad, watch this. And then when it's done, I'll be like, Dad, there's an even better movie on it. It's called Fall Guy. Wait until you watch this one. Yeah.
But it's going to be perfect for streaming. I know there was the whole debacle. Your boy really wanted it in theaters.
He did.
Doug Liman, the director who sort of boycotted the premiere. He didn't go on stage.
No, he boycotted.
He boycotted
the premiere date.
He boycotted.
And then he got a ticket.
Yeah, but then he watches, and then everybody gets to say he's in the audience, and then people are going to be why is the director here but not on stage?
Exactly.
And then you're going to look it up.
He needed to be there because you can't say I want my movie playing in theaters,
and then the one time
it's playing, it doesn't. It did get to play twice.
It did win
somehow.
The buzz.
Sure. So it shows you that a lot of people were there.
Yeah, it's true. I also do think that there is. I want to say that it goes to a bidding war.
No.
Like a little bit where it's like, I can think of two movies that would have had buzz screenings before the buzz screenings we got.
Hey, well, if the studio for Sing Sing was supporting them, I'm at least happy they got the money there.
It's not even Sing Sing. It's Roadhouse. Roadhouse getting the buzz over Fall Guy and Monkey Man doesn't make sense to me.
And I think those may have been too big, but they are in the same category, which makes you wonder, like, why not? It's because Monkey Man was never going to.
Monkey Man,
both of you know the buzz because you were in those lines. Yeah. Those were the buzziest ones.
They were.
Roadhouse was good, don't get me wrong. But it's like, I don't know if that would have been one to claim that.
I got number 69 when I got there just before 4, and it started at
6. Oh, yeah, because you actually did the waiting.
Yeah. There were fewer people lined up. You were the 69th for the Express.
For Roadhouse.
If you were gauging how the big premieres were.
Not for Express,
but even in that, it being a streaming movie and people showing up, I thought was impressive because we went to some other streaming movies that we like.
We love.
And I felt like people were like, this is Netflix, I don't got to worry about it. This is about to come out. I don't got to worry about it. And they still showed up for this one.
Yeah. Some people don't know. It's like when the Netflix logo played before It's What's Inside.
That's
a lot of people laughed. And
Jake
I'm like,
Gyllenhaal's going to
Yeah, people want to see Jake. People want to see Post.
Beyond Post, the one reason I'm really surprised they're not even attempting a theatrical, I feel like there's an audience there for Conor McGregor.
Yeah, there's absolutely.
The buzz in the room for Conor McGregor felt bigger than the buzz in the room for Jake Gyllenhaal.
I want to say, Conor stole the buzz.
Yeah, I mean, he made a spectacle of the Q&A, I think we could say.
Yes. Just
he came on stage with a bunch of whiskey. And yeah, he was having fun with it. But this is notably his acting debut. Yeah. He kind of plays the big bad in this movie, the tough guy.
The psycho one?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
He's got the introducing.
Yeah, yeah, he's not the big bad, but he's like the one who's like, he's the wild card. He's the one who's been brought
in. He's the one who the bad guy calls when the bad guy doesn't do
exactly,
what the bad
guy's
gotta
do. Exactly, but he's not like, when you're thinking of like, not like the guy from BlackBerry who comes in, it's all like, little bunch of boys. He's like,
you bunch of looking guys. He is like,
They play him as this like very like smiley guy.
Yeah,
you know, like
he's psychotically smiling.
Did you take it as smiley? I took that as like every non-actor who I've seen or worked with doesn't know how to get that grin off their face because they mention it in the movie. You've been smiling at me the entire time I've been in here. That was to Jake.
I think it's specifically they figured out a register that Conor McGregor can deliver lines.
Kind of like
in.
When they dialed in John Cena as the kind of goofy, awkward peacemaker character. And they dialed him in on that.
As fun as McGregor is here, he's a lot more limited than John Cena.
Oh, yeah,
like I don't see like a fruitful film career from this point. But he is magnetic in this role.
Yes, he is.
And at the Q&A, because just like in the movie where he goes in and kind of has this guy of Conor McGregor coming in to take back the Roadhouse, which he is protecting. He lost that Q&A to Conor McGregor. Man took over not just all of the interviewees, he took over the interviewer, who was Dax Shepard.
I'm going to say, introduced him, and I guess I heard a different name or something. I heard like Doc
Shepard. Jack Shepard.
Yeah,
from
I didn't
Lost.
Even hear Shepard. I just heard something. I thought it was some random Texan fan that was huge on Roadhouse. That's how much Conor McGregor stole the show that I was looking. Like, Conor was right next to Dax
the entire time.
And it wasn't until we were walking out that they were like talking about Dax Shepard separately. And I was like, where was Dax Shepard? He was like the
on
interviewer?
The whole time.
He was the guy with the question. Here you go. He is pretty tall.
And that made it more sense where he was willing to kind of like go to Conor and be like, you know, the studio wants me to ask all these
questions,
you know? I'm
going
to
ask these questions. Yeah, you guys were the ones who had told me that Conor did have a drink. I saw Post Malone with a Bud Light, which to me is just water for that man. But yeah.
He walked out deep of whiskey in a cup. And I noticed because he tried to put it between his leg at one point to grab the microphone. And I was like, you got two hands, buddy. You got two hands.
Yeah.
And then eventually he had to run. But I think he just pounded it and then brought it backstage. So like he was gone.
The audience loved him though.
Oh, yeah. And then he saved a woman at the end.
I think
allegedly.
That was PR stuff after he went crazy on stage. I, too, would be like, and he's going to save somebody.
Yeah. We did see the ambulance pull
up. We saw the ambulance
pull
up.
Did they actually save somebody?
No, I don't think he did. Somebody passed out. He went to help. He was, like, making sure that they were okay. And I'm like, he stole everything. You know Jake went back to the hotel room, skipped the after party. He's just, like, punching mirrors and screaming. Sorry, Jake. It's a bad year for
I thought Jake was really good in the movie.
I thought Jake was
delightful.
Great.
We went into it. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to be Team Fall Guy. He was supposed to be Team Roadhouse. None of us got into Fall Guy. I was surprised for Roadhouse. I did think it was pretty fun
for
what it was. He is very energetic.
Yeah.
He is. I think we've been comparing two different actors on who's got the better shirt takeoff moment.
Yeah, well, this movie does a really fun thing in that, like, you don't really get a good look at his face until the shot where he takes off his shirt.
Sure,
they introduce him the way that you kind of need to.
And all the girls are like, woo!
Yeah. And it lives up to that.
It's true. I could hear them.
You know, and the thing is, like, he really does carry himself in a way that is intimidating, right? There's a moment where he gets punched and doesn't really react.
Yeah,
and you believe it.
Yeah, you believe it.
Right? So I thought he was really good, and I think he elevated himself to the action moments in this film. There are a lot of like digital effects used to enhance the action scenes, and I don't know how you felt about them. I think they were kind of hit and miss.
Yeah,
because while like they are able to kind of execute certain moments a little bit more, I don't know, on camera than you would get to otherwise, it also just looks a little ugly and digital and in a way that took me out of some moments.
I thought it was cool the first time, kind of when they do it in the cage match at the beginning to kind of like establish things, but then I almost felt like a crutch after a while that they didn't know how to flip the momentum or get things. And I think it's going to disorient a lot of people because you'll see like a fist and then suddenly it's like wrapping around so that you're in that person's perspective and it's like doing just
It's a lot of that
things.
Robot camera too.
Robot camera.
Like it's
a drone, but it's not.
Yeah, like they're in a green screen set, but it kind of feels like they're kind of in the bar setting. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it's a little weird.
Yeah, a little weird.
I don't know, maybe the TV's at home. Would they have the most, what is it, the motion? The motion smoothing. Oh, God, no. This is made for those TVs?
No.
They know the dads aren't changing them. I also thought it was
goes to bed and I'm like...
Yeah, you got to change all of it. Look, a lot of it was weird. It was very 50-50 for me, but the 50 that hit. Yeah. There's a lot of weird stuff. Post Malone fighting, he looked good up there. He didn't look incredible. Nah. You could tell they were working on some of that stuff.
Yeah, but he's in it for like 30
after
seconds.
The fact, but he's in it for 30 seconds. You know? But when Jake Gyllenhaal is doing some of the fights, he's got this one that's in the trailer and they spoil with the half slap.
Yeah, I love the slap.
And then to hit.
And then the whole like, is there a hospital in it? You guys have health insurance.
It's the dialogue it's and the quirkiness
and
in
the
it.
Quirky
that's all,
and the light delivery.
The way he'll like undercut the moment by throwing out a like, who taught you shapes?
Yeah.
You
know? So I thought the flow of that was pretty well.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I did think when you're talking about comedy that Jessica Williams being the one who brings him in when, you know, he's just this figure that's out there doing these fights, not even fighting really because he just has that legacy. This,
he's like, to show up.
Yeah, there's this flashback kind of thing that creeps in on an incident that happened when he was in his MMA career, which I feel is completely out there because he shot it at an actual MMA fight, which adds to the energy of those scenes. But when he gets this job from Jessica Williams, I feel she just disappears. And that's kind of like a looming thing in the movie where it felt like the MacGuffin. Somebody needs this place. Mm-hmm. They barely tell you for what. And when they do, you don't really care.
I agree. I think if they wanted to do the love interest, she should have been the love interest too.
Because then there's another love interest, right?
Should have been combined. Because the love interest...
Sophia Boutella? Who was that?
No, it was Ratcatcher.
Yeah, Ratcatcher. And I love her. She's a fantastic actress.
I have no problem. And she looked great at the Q&A.
She did, but you know
but
what?
It was like
she
two characters split. Yeah.
She didn't need to be here.
Yeah,
she didn't need to be here. And she's great. Like, I'm glad you got the job. But like, I just feel like there was two characters that should have been one character. And
and then her character
engaging.
Expands into other characters that I don't want to spoil either. And it gets very convoluted.
You
could have
done it with all one person.
Yeah.
No reason why I couldn't.
We just need to see them get punched in the face.
They both feel like half characters, and I agree. Kind of would have maybe made their presences feel a little more justified if you give them a little bit more each. So
yeah, or just merge them.
Yeah, it does feel abridged in certain ways, which is weird for a movie that wasn't short. Mm-hmm. But you know, I think most of it is like it's pretty breezy. Mm-hmm. It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Not the deepest movie by any means. No. Not the most like. Electric in terms of how it visualizes the action. I wouldn't put you know what they put on screen up there with like a John Wick kind of, or even against some of the other stuff we've seen at this festival, but I think it's satisfying. I think it's gonna be fun, and it's a pretty easy movie to sit back and just like
turn on, turn off
with kind of any audience.
Yeah, I agree. What else is I'm totally blanking.
Shout out my boy
done?
My tocayo.
Doug Liman has done Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Right, okay.
Original Bourne Identity.
Yes, yeah.
Asking for,
Tom
for something the last 10 years.
Yeah, and once you said that, it opened
Edge
up
of Tomorrow with Tom
else.
Cruise. What are you talking about,
what year was that?
Ooh, that's old now.
We're reaching it, I know.
2012?
2014.
Say your favorite. See, that's
Chaos Walking.
That's 10 years.
My man doesn't have an easy time getting movies made, so he doesn't do them too often.
Or getting them in theaters.
I like Chaos Walking.
But I like this one.
We did do Chaos Walking.
He likes to save it for the end.
Dude.
I like my boy Arturo in it. He was really funny.
He was great.
He added a lot of
Arturo
levity
Castro.
To it.
Yeah, he was great.
Really stole every scene he was in.
Every scene he was in was really funny. Yeah. I'm glad to see him up there. And Lucas Gage. I'm blanking on the other guy's name, too, because it was the other two kind of like buddies that he had as
the
bodyguards.
Oh. Our comedy poster fell.
It was the guy. Yeah, he did not find my thing funny for not knowing his name.
Yeah.
But I thought they were... pretty good in it. There's been a lot of actors who have been mentioning the idea of this being the hardest film that I've shot. I actually believe it kind of for him because I don't think he's done too much action. He's been doing a lot of, he's been in his drama bag, which is cool.
Yeah,
right?
He's done a lot of action. Not that kind of action, maybe.
Not that kind of action. I think he was actually getting punched in the face.
Oh, sorry, you're talking
Gage. Yeah. Because a lot
Doug.
Of act. No.
Doug.
Well, Doug too. You know, sometimes I don't know when.
But you know, Lucas Gage has not done a lot of action.
So when he's
good.
When he said it was like,
he's really
one
nice
of the
too.
Toughest, I thought that was
And I was really enjoying the film in those moments when it's kind of like Jake Gyllenhaal trying to like
teach them.
You need to be self sufficient.
Yeah,
you know.
When everyone in the town knows him, and he's like, why does everybody know
him? You guys have a meeting?
Yeah. Another character, too, when you guys were saying splitting the love interest, he's also kind of got, like, the little girl who's
like
guiding
her.
Him. And it was just like, for what reason? I called her Nice Spice because she was just, like, running a bookshop with her dad. And but, again, it felt like the cliche throwback to like the Westerns where the little kid's going to help.
But she's not that young. And that's my issue. She needed, that needed to be a 6-year-old based on how she was acting. And I feel like that actress is like 16, 17. That's an adult, almost.
Well, I don't know if you can get the like analysis of the Western genre from a 6-year-old. So they're kind of like combining precocious little kid ideas. Yeah,
yeah, but the way she's saying it's all like, I could totally see a little kid in a small town of like finding some old random Western book or like watching a John Wayne movie with their grandfather.
They could have simplified it more is what you're saying.
Yeah, like I just think if you want to have a 16-year-old acting like they're six, like, I don't know, I don't know. It was weird. She felt weird to me. I like that there was like an emotional hook that like, and I like what her purpose is for how it leads into the conclusion of the movie. I don't like her character.
And it's I think it gets back to the thing that I'm trying to talk. I was trying to say earlier that like, even though I don't want this to be like a miniseries, there is an expansive nature to it in that they kind of make a lot of characters really abbreviated in a way that like you kind of want to maybe have a little more depth there. You want to dive deeper into those relationships for it to feel as
they're like video game characters.
And
he's like just checking in with
like
them.
An open, like if you were in a Fallout game and you kind of stumbled upon a town that wasn't on the main objective.
Right.
So and you just have these like kind of developed characters.
Yeah. And it's the hints of depth without the real presence of it. So I don't know. I it still doesn't keep me from enjoying the film. I thought I had a really good time with it.
Same.
It was decent.
But I think, you know, it's not going to, I don't know if it's going to have like a Roadhouse kind of legacy or anything like that.
No, I think it's exactly what it's trying to be. And I don't know, following up for the rights or whatever it needs to, honoring the spirit of Roadhouse, because that was a big thing in the studio questions for the Q&A, is him mentioning, I was completely honored by Patrick Swayze. It's Patrick Swayze in this movie. It's Patrick Swayze in all the other movies. That's who I'm inspired by. And I think, you know, it may not be the movie to see in theaters, but if it did play in theaters, I think a lot of people would have gone for some matinees. Dads would have gone.
I agree. Yeah,
like that would have been a good outing movie for the boys. For sure.
We'd have a good day. We'd have a good day,
For streaming, though, I think it's perfect because I would give it a rent. If it wasn't streaming, I would have rented it to watch with my family because I think it's at least that good of a movie night for the group.
Yeah. I personally went 3 stars on Letterboxd, but I'm a little
harsh.
Not bad.
That's probably about where I'd be.
No, there's a lot of dumb stuff in there. So after you get all the dumb stuff, 3 stars is good. Like Conor McGregor is just Conor McGregor.
He was fun.
You're cheering because it's just him on stage going crazy. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like he was game for a lot of goofy bits. So there is that. But overall, not a bad way to start the fest.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right.